And thank you, ladies, for that song. It actually goes well with the message. Psalms 56, I do invite you to open up the Word of God. Psalms 56, and I will certainly not be long. Thank you, Pastor Miller, for this opportunity. I don't take that lightly. Psalms 56, a gentleman from Chicago was visiting his buddy in England, and this man wanted to hear Charles Spurgeon speak in person. So his buddy got a couple of tickets, and they went that evening, and he sat there in the auditorium, and Spurgeon gave an amazing message. Hundreds of people got saved that night, and following that service, Spurgeon was standing in the back of the auditorium, and this man asked his buddy, "Hey, what did you think of the service? What did you think?" And this man named Jim said, "Charles Spurgeon, what a man, what a man, what a man." And somehow Spurgeon overheard it and began weeping. Those who were standing next to him did not understand his tears. They asked him what was the matter, and he shared that story with those people. And he said, instead of that man saying, "Charles Spurgeon, what a man, what a man, what a man," I wished he said, "What a God, what a God, what a God." And I am by no means Charles Spurgeon, but when you leave here, I want you to leave here tonight, ending this year, saying, "What a God, what a God, what a God." Amen. I don't have my best message, but I think I have the message that God has for you. So for a moment, we're just going to read just a couple of verses. Normally, I read the entire chapter, but we're just going to look at Psalms 56, and we're going to look at verse 8 and 9. Psalms 56, begin reading in verse 8. And it says, "Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me." Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for this night. Thank you for this year. And Lord, thank you for this church. And Lord, how you are using it, Lord, here in Fairfield, but using it, Lord, and the other churches, the other pastors, Lord, I'm so thankful for this ministry. I'm so thankful for this pastor and, Lord, what he means to me. And, Lord, he's been a huge help to me. And, Lord, as we dive into the Word of God, Lord, these people do not need a message from me. Lord, they need a message from heaven. Lord, so help me to empty myself of sin and self. And Lord, fill me with thy Holy Spirit power. Lord, may we be able to leave here and say, "Lord, what a God. Lord, you are certainly an awesome God." And Lord, may we realize that, Lord, even this night. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. 2018 was a good year for my family. We bought a house, and we have really enjoyed working on that house. We had another child, a newborn son. His name's AJ, 4 months old, and that is certainly a joy for any family. And then our ministry there, the Lord has just, we have just seen God move in a way that we cannot explain. People ask, what are you doing? And we say, I don't know what we're doing. God is just moving. And I'm so thankful for that. It's been a good year. But for some of my people, it hasn't been a good year. It's been a difficult year. Maybe it's been a good year for you. Maybe it's been a difficult year. Hey, we don't know what 2019 has in store. It could be a great year, or it could be a difficult year. You know, when we are having a good year, man, we just thank God for all of the good things He gives to us. But when we have a difficult year, it seems like we sometimes think, God, where are you? For a few moments, I want to speak on this subject, the teal bottle. The teal bottle. Psalms 56 deals with King David's fear, and it deals with his faith. The theme of this chapter is that God is for David. And can I just stop and say that God is for you as well? God is for you. As we all know, Psalms is considered the psalm book of the Bible. And under the Holy Spirit's guidance, King David penned the heartache that he felt as a fugitive king. 2 Samuel chapter 21, 10 through 15 gives this account of how he sought refuge in Gath from his own people. It was a difficult time for King David. And in this passage, it tells us that God counts our steps, and it says he catches our tears and puts them in a bottle. For a moment, can I share with you the history of the teal bottle? It comes from an ancient custom that during a funeral, those in attendance, each person would get a bottle. And during that service, they would catch their tears into the bottle, and then they would put it into the tomb. Historians are constantly and consistently still finding these bottles with the tears inside. The Word of God has the ability to say volumes in just one verse or even one word. And there is much that we can learn from this little vessel. I just want to share a few thoughts with you concerning the teal bottle. And I hope it's a help to you. Number one, the teal bottle suggests that God sees. That God sees. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro, and in the whole earth." Proverbs chapter 5, verse 21 says, "For the ways of the man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all of his going." God sees. Today, the average child of God behaves like God is up in heaven with dark sunglasses on, a walking stick, and a seeing eye dog. But can I just say God sees? God sees. God knows exactly where each one of his children are at, and he knows exactly what each one is feeling. I'm so thankful that I serve an all-seeing and an all-knowing God who knows where I am and where you are this very moment, and he knows exactly how I feel this very second. See, man sees the outward appearance. The outward appearance, when we walk into the house of God, we put a smile on our face like everything's okay. But God sees the heart. God sees your sorrow. God sees the pain, and he catches all of your tears. There's a pastor in the inner city of Northern Ohio named Gary Ragnar, and he lost his sight nearly 15 years ago. But on his office door, there is a sign that has two big eyes on it that reads this: "The big pastor does see." The big pastor does see. And you might be sitting here thinking, no one sees what's going on in my life. No one knows how I feel. Can I introduce you to the big pastor? His name is Jesus Christ. And you have never been out of his sight. He knows exactly what's going on. Jesus Christ sees you tonight. Whether you're sitting on this side or sitting on this side, whether you are sitting in the back, whether you're sitting forward, God sees you. And he doesn't see what's on the outward. He sees the pain. Amen. The sorrow. It was during the year of the pioneer, and a town had built a new school. And there was a strong woodsman who had a young son. But their house was a little distance from this school. In fact, there was a huge forest between their house and the school. This strong woodsman told his son that he would have to go to school all alone because he wanted his son to be tough. He wanted him to be strong. The first few days, the young lad was scared that some wild beast or some wild Indians would get him and kill him. But after a few days, nothing happened, and he became comfortable. One day as he walked, though, a huge bear came out, and he stood up on his 2 feet. And the young boy just stood there, scared to death. He didn't move. The bear began to walk towards the young boy, and suddenly a shot ran out. Bang! The bear fell down dead. Out of the bushes came his father and said, "Son, each and every single day I have been watching you, making sure that you made it to school safely. You can never see me because I stayed in the shadows, but I was with you the entire time." Child of God, I am not sure what you are dealing with, but standing in the shadows of your life, you will find the Savior. He sees. God sees. He has been watching you the entire time. You have never been out of his care. The teal bottle suggests that God sees. Amen. He sees you. You. Second of all, the teal bottle suggests that God strengthens. He doesn't just see us. He sees us and he strengthens us. Psalms chapter 18, verse 32, it says, "It is God that guardeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect." In this passage, the psalmist David describes how he conquered the giant and totally wiped out his family. And he conquered that giant, he said, because God guarded him with strength. Friend, can I just say, if it wasn't for the strength of God, this pulpit would be empty today. Amen. If it wasn't for the strength of God, these chairs would be empty tonight. If it wasn't for the strength of God, where would we be? But God strengthens. Amen. There are several wells that the child of God can gain support from. And we need to discover these wells. If we don't discover these wells and use these wells, we will be missing something in our life. And we may not survive in this thing called the Christian life. How does God strengthen? Can I give you several ways? Number one, there is the Holy Scripture. Psalms 119, verse 28 says, "My soul melteth for heaviness." Have you ever been there? Where you just felt overwhelmed. "My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word." Amen. See, child of God, our relationship with the Holy Scripture will determine whether or not we will be successful in the Christian life. The Word of God is not a fashion accessory that we put on with our church clothes. And it's not a spiritual filing cabinet where we keep the bulletins for the last year. It is the living Word of God. Amen. We cannot and we should not live without it. I've been pastoring now for 6 years. Was an assistant for 6.5 years. Do you know what I've discovered? Many of God's children are not in the Word of God. I do this from time to time in my church. Out of nowhere, I might say, can someone share with me something that God showed you this week in your devotions? Can someone share with me something that God taught you? Something that maybe he encouraged you with or challenged you with. Can I say, it's hard to get people's hands up. And it's not because they do not like to speak in public. It's because they don't have anything to share. Friend, what did God say to you this week in the Word of God? What message did he give you? What encouraging thought, what challenging message did God give you this week in the Word of God? If you and I are going to succeed in this thing called the Christian life, we have to get into the Holy Scriptures. It is good to have Bible verses on our Bible covers and verses on our shorts and hats. It's good to have it hanging on our wall. And it's good to have verses on our coffee mugs. But we need God's Word stamped into our hearts. Amen. Right. Stamped. One of the ways God strengthens is with the Word of God. Yeah. There's a man in the Word of God. I might ask you his name. But he wanted to stop serving the Lord. An Old Testament man. He wanted to give up. He was facing difficulty and he just didn't want to go forward. But he said that the Word of God burned within him. Amen. Anybody know that person's name? Other than Pastor Raleigh? Anybody know his name? What's his name? Jeremiah. Hey, you know what kept Jeremiah going? The Word of God. Amen. Friend, you and I need the Holy Scripture in our life. Yes. Second of all, he strengthens with the Holy Scriptures. Second of all, he strengthens with the helping saint. 1 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 16, it says, and Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David and strengthened his hand in the Lord. The lady sang about it a moment ago. A child of God who encourages another is worth his weight in gold. We need some more Barnabases out there. We need some more encouragers and not discouragers. We got enough discouragers. We need some encouragers. Some encouragers. Perhaps you're sitting here tonight saying, well, no one encourages me. I wish someone would encourage me. You ought not to say that, especially out loud, because really it's an indictment against yourself. The Word of God says this, ready? Give and it shall be given on it. Did you know it has nothing to do with finances? If you keep it in context, nothing to do with finances. Given it shall be given unto you. Here's one, ready? You reap what you sow. You say, nobody's encouraging me. Why don't you try and encourage someone? When we encourage others, we too become encouraged. Finish this verse. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Hey, if we put Jesus Christ first in our life and others second, we will have joy. We will have joy. You say, but who can I encourage? A man named Jack Hyers once said, be kind to everyone because everyone is having a hard time. You do not have to take many steps to find someone with a heavy heart a heavy burden. Encourage them. And I guarantee you, it will encourage you. Amen. You know, there used to be a time, and thank God we do this at our church. I hope you guys do it here. I'm not sure. There used to be a time when people would come down to the altar. And they would be seeking God. And then if it's a lady at the altar, another lady would come beside her and pray with her. A man would come to the altar and another man would come beside him and pray with him. We live in such a self-centered society. Well, we're worried about our issues. When is the last time that we did pray for someone else? You say, well, I'll do that at home. That's wonderful, but it would be more wonderful if you prayed with someone. You say, well, I will if they ask. They are probably so down and discouraged they're not going to ask. And they need a encourager. They need you. And by the way, you need someone else.
It's true.
You know, we are commanded in Scripture to bear one another's burdens. But if we are going to bear one another's burdens, we have to first share our burdens. You cannot bear that which is not shared. So many of us walk into the house of God and we act like everything's okay. We have it all together. When deep down we feel like everything's falling apart, we need to come in and open up and let the church act like the church. The Holy Scripture, the helping saint. This is my favorite one. There's the Holy Spirit. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his own Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead, and no one can comfort you like he can. He is called the Great Comforter. The Great Comforter. I read an article about a year ago of a church up in northern Ohio who had something called a healing service, and I'm not going to go into that. That's their business. They were having a healing service. And in that healing service, thousands of people came forward to be healed. 75% of them came for great discouragement. Deep despair, 75% of them. The USA Today said that 75% of Americans deal with depression. If that is so, what the poll of the United States, and if what that church said, 75% of them came for healing, for great discouragement, can I ask you this? What does that say about God? If God can't give joy and peace like he said, what does that say about him? Can I say it really doesn't say anything about him, but it does say something about Christians. Hey, when you got saved, do you know what you got when you got saved? Do you know what you got when you got saved? You got the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you. And do you know what he produces? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. Did you hear that? When you got the Holy Spirit of God, you got joy. The Bible says joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. You got peace. What type of peace? The peace that passeth all understanding. You say, then why So why does 75% of God's children struggle with deep discouragement? Can I tell you why? They are not in touch with the Holy Spirit of God. A child of God can deal with the toughest situation and have complete peace. Some say that's odd. I say, no, that's God. I can go into so many personal stories concerning how that the Holy Spirit of God strengthened me. I was raised in church. I'm not going to go into detail. I was raised in church since birth. Family went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Listen to me, church. Things are not always what they appear. I don't know how many times I went to the hospital because of abuse. I can't even tell you how many times I laid in bed and said, God, take me on. I never had thoughts of suicide, but I did want to move on to heaven. I didn't want to live this life anymore. But laying in my bunk bed, so many times as a young man, I felt the Holy Spirit of God come down and say, it's going to be okay, Josh. I have a plan for you, Josh. I love you, Josh. I was serving in ministry and was serving as a youth pastor at a church. And I was loving every minute of it. And one day that was taken from me. Circumstances that were out of my control were taken from me. Some people fell into sin, and when they fell into sin, it kind of pushed me out the door. And the pastor ended up resigning his church, and a month later coming back and taking it back over. And foolishness, what happens in churches, foolishness. Took it back over, and I knew I couldn't stay there, so we left. I've always been able to find a job, always. I've never probably gone a couple of days without having a job. I couldn't find a job for 90 days. Being a youth pastor, you don't make a lot of money. Unless maybe your brother Josh, I don't know how much you make, but hey, share that with us. No, I'm kidding. I didn't have money in the bank. For 90 days, I had no idea how I was going to pay my bills, how I was going to eat. We had two children at the time. And what am I going to do? And I was looking for a job every single day. I probably put in over 200 applications. I was putting in jobs where I didn't even really want to work. I just needed money. Places like Walmart was turning me down. Walmart. Have you ever been to Walmart before? I was so discouraged. One night I was downstairs in our home and I was down in our bathroom and I was just vomiting into the toilet, vomiting. I hadn't eaten for several days, not because we had no food, just because of discouragement, vomiting so much that blood was coming out. And in that moment, I started asking God, what's going on? God, I've been trying my best to live for you. Lord, I don't understand what's going on. That was by far my lowest moment in my life. But in my lowest moment, it became the best moment of my life. I can't explain it. And I've just felt the Holy Spirit of God come down. And He didn't come down physically, but you know what I mean. He came down and He wrapped His loving arms around me. And I just felt it. I mean, I could just feel Him there. And He was telling me everything was going to be okay, Josh. Just keep going forward. Hey, Josh, I love you. Just keep going on. I got up off of my knees. And for the first time in a long time, I had peace. We took over the church and started it from basically nothing. And we didn't have time to go out and get support. That wasn't part of the deal of getting the building. Long story there. But we took off, and I was still walking at the time. I walked for a year and then went on full-time after a year. And after a year, the ministry was going well, and everything just fell apart. You know what I'm talking about. When you think everything's going right, then everything goes wrong. Just stumbled for a while. But you know what I learned in that valley? That God always takes care of His children. If you just stay faithful, God always, always, always takes care of His children. Amen. Friend, do you know the Holy Spirit of God? I'm not asking, do you know about Him? I'm saying, do you know Him? Have you had an intimate moment with Him recently? How often does He speak to you? Because it ought to be daily. How often is He involved in your life? Every day I wake up and say, Lord, I want to know You. I want to experience You. Friend, we need the Holy Spirit of God. Because when no one else sees, God sees. And He strengthens. Thirdly and finally, not only does the Theobata suggest that God sees, not only does it suggest that God strengthens, thirdly, the Theobata would suggest that soon, also very soon, all sorrow will be eliminated. Yeah. Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. See, God has made a home for us that has no human heartache in it. In Cincinnati, there is sorrow. In America, there is sorrow. In England, there is sorrow. In Russia, there is sorrow. But in heaven, there is no sorrow. We will live in a land of no more pain, no more funerals, no more hurting hearts, no more diseases, no more short splits, no more heartbreak, no more tears. I recently officiated a funeral for a 24-year-old young girl. She sadly overdosed. As her family passed by the casket, her grandmother who raised her kissed her on the forehead and said, honey, I'll see you tomorrow. Friend, tomorrow is not that far away. Child of God, every tear that has gone down your face is not in some pillowcase. It did not roll off of someone's shoulder. A pastor, it did not land on the carpet in your office. the Lord Jesus Christ caught each tear, carried them, and carefully places them in our bottle. And I personally believe that he will present them to us one day in heaven just to show us how much he cares. Just to show us how much he loves us. Church, I don't know many of you and you don't know me, but can I just tell you this? I know this about you. God loves you. Did you hear me? He loves you. He loves you. The tear bottle suggests that God sees. The tear bottle suggests that God strengthens. The tear bottle suggests that soon we are going to a land that has no more human heartache. And the Lord will wipe away all tears, never to sorrow again. What a day. What a day that's going to be. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, Brother Wally.